Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Alice Bryant, Bruce Alpert, Jill Robbins, and Lucia Malonic. Later, we will bring you this week's education report. But first, here is Alice Bryant.
A United Nations report says a lack of education for girls in developing countries may be partly to blame for a rise in poverty worldwide. The UN released its 2016 State of the World Population Report last week in Jordan's capital, Amman. The writers examine the well-being of 10-year-old girls as signs of success or failure of a country's development. The report says most of the world's 10-year-old children live in developing countries. In many areas, girls face barriers to good education, health care, and safety. The report points to problems with continued gender inequality among half of the world's young population. On the day of the report's release, a group of students sang about gender equality at a press conference in Amman. The students take classes at the city's Princess Aliyah School for Girls. The report says 89% of the world's 125 million 10-year-olds live in developing countries. It also says 35 million 10-year-old girls live in countries said to be very unequal on issues of gender. Princess Basma bint Talal is a goodwill ambassador for the UN Population Fund. She told reporters, "In some parts of the world, a 10-year-old girl looks forward to her horizons opening up so she can reach her goals. But in other places, she is up against closed doors." Princess Basma said that girls' chances for success are limited when their futures are decided by other people or their environment. Some barriers can threaten their safety and social or economic growth. 10-year-old girls in many poor countries face the risk of being married off. More than 60 million girls are not in school. They do twice as much work around the home as boys their age, and they serve as unpaid laborers more than boys do. Every 10 minutes, an adolescent girl dies of violence. Many of them are infected with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, as a result of rape. Suicide is the second largest cause of death for young girls. Jordan's Princess Basma said, "Let us remember that we are all responsible. Let us remember that our every word and deed, positive or negative, can affect the road a girl travels from this turning point in her life." She continued, "This is what will shape her role in society, which is to say our society and the world." The UN report says that investment in health, education, and empowerment of 10-year-old girls can triple a girl's lifetime earnings. Daniel Baker is the humanitarian coordinator for the UN Population Fund's office in Amman.
"Failing to invest in girls is nothing less than planned poverty. Unless we invest in girls, we're planning to have a poorer future.
This is a point that cannot be noted enough, he said. The report closes with the message that doing damage to girls is harmful not only to their communities, but to humanity as a whole. I'm Alice Bryant.
Ask many actors, and they will tell you it is hard to get work when you are just starting out, and also as you get older. That has not been the case for American musical actress Susan Watson. In 1958, Watson was offered a part in the musical West Side Story in London. At that time, she was still a student at New York City's Juilliard School for musicians, dancers, and actors. More than 50 years later, she was offered another part. Watson was to take an important role in a remake of the musical Follies at the Kennedy Center in Washington and the Marquis Theater in New York City. In both cases, the offers came from musical theater legend Stephen Sondheim. He wrote the lyrics for West Side Story and the music and lyrics for Follies. It felt so good being on stage nightly with fellow senior citizens Bernadette Peters, Linda Lavin, and Elaine Page, Watson said of Follies. Active, empowered, senior women are a resource that I think Americans can be proud of. As a teenager, Watson developed her dancing, singing, and acting skills in her hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma. She traveled to study at New York's Juilliard School before Sondheim interrupted her studies with the offer of a part in West Side Story. The award-winning musical, based on William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, tells a story of the struggles of immigrants in New York City. Watson later had starring roles in such well-known musicals as The Fantastics, Bye Bye Birdie, Carnival, Celebration, and No No Nanette. She has also appeared in many American television shows.
Musical plays are an American invention. They tell stories through many art forms, spoken words, song, acting, and dance. Music adds an important emotional element, making an interesting story even more powerful, Watson said. Now musical theater is regularly shown in such countries as Australia, China, Israel, Japan, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, and South Korea. American musicals have been popular for many years in Britain and Canada. The end of a performance, when the stars of a show come out to a curtain call to accept cheers from the people watching, never gets old, Watson said.
In live theater, actors know the unexpected will happen. It is just a question of when. Watson remembers how her co-star in the musical Carnival, the late Jerry Orbach, liked to give as realistic a performance as possible. There was one scene, Watson recalled, where Orbach was supposed to slap her. I'm a small person, and he was slapping me a little too hard, she said. Watson said she asked him to lighten up, but if he did, it was not nearly enough for Watson. So in one performance, I hit him back hard, Watson said. After that, Watson's co-star let up on their nightly hitting scene. That was important for her. Actors in Broadway shows in New York City do 8 performances a week.
Watson's singing voice often surprised people. John Wilson, writing for the New York Times in 1976, said a Susan Watson performance produced shock value. It surprised people that a small woman had such a big, full-bodied voice, Wilson wrote. At age 78, Watson now lives in California, but she has not finished performing. She just released a new album of musical theater and other American music called The Music Never Ends. She is excited that 6 of the 14 songs on her new album were written by empowered women, including Nancy Ford and Gretchen Cryer. "I'm 78 years old and still having a lovely time in show business," Watson said. Some people have the opinion that it is harder to get started in the entertainment business, but Watson said today's computer technology makes it easier to tell people about new shows, recordings, and movies. Performers, musicians, television networks, and theaters can tell the world about their creative efforts by placing messages on the internet and social media, Watson said. She said her new musical recording, The Music Never Ends, is selling very well, partly because people do not have to go to a store to buy it. They can buy it online, like almost any other product. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Fifth Avenue is in the center of New York City. It is an area where many rich people live and work. Trump Tower is a mixed-use building on Fifth Avenue. It has high-priced housing, offices, and stores. It is where U.S. President-elect Donald Trump and his family live. It is also headquarters to his presidential transition team. The team is busy filling positions in the new Trump administration. In the lobby of Trump Tower, reporters and camera crews stand behind rope barriers. They watch who is going to and from the transition team's headquarters. They shout questions to learn information about the new administration. Hunter Walker is a member of the transition press pool.
We sit here for long stretches where we don't see anybody, but you can't really lose focus because you never know who's going to walk through, and you need to be ready to identify them, jump up, and start throwing questions kind of at a moment's notice. There's no warning.
Trump Tower is now being called White House North because it is to the north of Washington, D.C. The security and protection needed for the president-elect creates a lot of work and traffic problems for New York's police department. With so much security in the area, it is sometimes difficult to travel to the shops. Tom Cusick is with the Fifth Avenue Business Improvement District. He says many business owners say their profits have fallen.
Customer flow is severely restricted, and we're talking about the loss of tens of millions of dollars just for the Christmas season.
New York City officials say the price tag for security around Trump Tower costs the city at least $1 million a day. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Virtual reality, VR, is a powerful new technology. VR software programs are being used in many video games, but others have been developed for education, to train doctors, and in military training. VR gives the people who use it an interactive three-dimensional experience. They can see realistic images and hear sounds that are almost like those one experiences in real life. Quora Virtual Reality opened earlier this year in Denmark's capital, Copenhagen. It may be the first virtual reality store in the world. It is a place where people can learn about virtual reality and create and play it. The Greek philosopher Plato used the word quora to describe a place between reality and fantasy. In the company's VR game, Cityscape Repairman, players must operate a huge urban infrastructure. Each person must take care of the city's roads and public services to continue playing. Simon Leibowitz is the CEO of Quora. He says the company's developers do more than create games.
We work with autists in New York, we work with psychology, we work with the main city hospital here, we work with dementia, we work with businesses, tell new way of telling stories.
Morten Haulik is the company's event manager.
So it's super important to give people the experience of actually walking around in the world, interacting with stuff. It could be the Great Wall of China or the space station and stuff like that. But if you really need to learn something about it, you actually need to see it in real life and touch it and interact with it.
Leibowitz says that is what students at the University of Copenhagen experience.
My favorite thing is showing people virtual reality, and then when they take off the goggles, it's like, whoa. I forgot that I was in this space with white walls and with people around me. When they realize that they actually forgot, that's my favorite part.
Clara Likegaard is a student at the university.
I have read about virtual reality before and I've seen others trying it, but I have never tried it myself. And it is a brand new world. It's so weird because you almost forget where you are.
Quora's leaders believe helping students get interested in this technology might persuade some of them to work in the industry and gain a share of what is expected to be a more than $3 billion market by 2020. I'm Lucia Malanig.
This is What's Trending Today. Have you ever heard the expression, when pigs fly? It is a saying people use to express that something is very unlikely to happen. As unlikely as pigs growing wings and flying like a bird. For example, a person who hates riding roller coasters might tell a friend, "I'll go on that ride with you when pigs fly." Well, one pig in San Francisco may not be flying, but she is helping people relax before they fly in a plane. Lilu is a small pig working at the San Francisco airport. She is a therapy animal. That means she is calm and likes to be touched by humans. She and other therapy animals aim to help travelers who get nervous about flying in planes. She was trained by the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. This is Lilu's first week on the job as a member of the airport's WAG Brigade. She only works at the airport once a month, so not all travelers to the San Francisco airport will see her. But you might see some of her fellow therapy animals. She works alongside a group of trained dogs. Their trainers walk around the airport with them. The animals wear signs that say, "Pet me." Lilu the pig has been getting a lot of attention at the airport and on social media. One Twitter user said he made fun of the airport's decision to provide a relaxing yoga room for travelers, but he fully supports Lilu. And that's What's Trending Today.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today, we are going to give you a basic overview of the verb tense system in English. Verb tenses tell us how an action relates to the flow of time. There are three main verb tenses in English: present, past, and future. The present, past, and future tenses are divided into four aspects: the simple, progressive, perfect, and perfect progressive. There are 12 major verb tenses that English learners should know. English has only two ways of forming a tense from the verb alone, the past and the present. For example, we drove and we drive. To form other verb tenses, you have to add a form of have, be, or will in front of the verb. These are called helping or auxiliary verbs.
Verb tenses can be difficult to learn in a foreign language. Different cultures think different ways about time. Chinese, for example, has no grammatical verb tenses. Other languages, like Indonesian, express time only through adverbs. There are no changes to the verb form. English verb tenses give many details about time and action, such as: is the action finished? How long did the action happen? Was the action repeated? Did the action happen at a known or unknown time? Is the action a habit? Is the action planned or spontaneous? It is difficult to think about time distinctions that do not exist in your own language. So, it can take many years for English learners to master verb tenses. Let's get started. We are going to give examples of all 12 verb tenses using the verb drive.
We'll start with the simple tenses. These are probably the first tenses you learned in English. Simple tenses usually refer to a single action. In general, simple tenses express facts and situations that existed in the past, exist in the present, or will exist in the future. Simple present.
I drive home every day.
Simple past.
I drove home yesterday.
Simple future.
I will drive home later. Let's go on to the progressive tenses. We use progressive tenses to talk about unfinished events. Progressive tenses are also called continuous tenses. Past progressive.
I was driving when you called.
Present progressive.
I am driving now.
Future progressive.
I will be driving when you call. Now let's look at the perfect tenses. Perfect tenses cause the most confusion. To put it simply, they express the idea that one event happens before another event. There are many tricky exceptions with the perfect tenses, which we will discuss in a future episode. The adverbs never, yet, and already are common in perfect tenses. Present perfect.
I have driven that road.
Past perfect.
I had already driven that road in the past.
Future perfect.
I will have driven 200 miles by tomorrow. Finally, let's look at the perfect progressive tenses. Generally, perfect progressive tenses express duration, or how long. Perfect progressive tenses usually include the adverbs for or since. Present perfect progressive.
I have been driving since this morning.
Past perfect progressive.
I had been driving for 3 hours before I stopped to get gas.
Future perfect progressive.
I will have been driving for 5 hours by the time I arrive.
Don't worry if you don't understand everything yet. Here are some recommendations we have for learning verb tenses.
First, think of adverbs as your friends. Adverbs of time offer valuable clues about the correct verb tense. Let's use the adverb ago. Ago is only used in the simple past, as in, I left home 3 years ago. The adverb ago is never used in the present perfect. Certain adverbs occur with certain verb tenses. English learners sometimes try to impress people by using complex verb tenses. You often have a choice of several verb tenses. When you do, always choose the simplest one. It will be clear for your listener, and there is less chance of making a mistake.
Native speakers don't think consciously about verb tenses. With enough practice, English learners can internalize the verb tense system too. Instead of worrying about deep time relationships, try using adverbs and your ear to choose the right verb tense. Often when someone asks a question, you can respond in the same verb tense. We'll ask a question in each verb tense. Give an answer in the same tense, then listen to our answer. Ready? Did you get enough sleep last night?
Yes, I slept well.
Do you shower every day?
Yes, I shower every day.
Are you going to study tonight?
Yes, I'm going to study tonight.
What were you doing when I called you last night?
I was eating dinner when you called me last night.
What are you doing right now?
I am practicing verb tenses right now.
What will you be doing at midnight on New Year's Eve?
I will be celebrating the New Year with my friends. Had you ever tried skiing before today?
Yes, I had already done it several times before.
Have you ever broken the law?
No, I have never broken the law.
Will you have gotten married by the time you turn 30?
No, I will not have gotten married by the time I turn 30.
How long had you been smoking before you quit?
I had been smoking for 2 years before I quit.
How long have you been waiting for the bus?
I have been waiting for the bus for 20 minutes.
How long will you have been working before you retire?
I will have been working for 30 years before I retire.
This is just a basic introduction to verb tenses. In the following weeks, we will cover the more difficult verb tenses in more detail. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.